Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever worked and worked and worked really hard, extended all of your energies only to find that when you got to the end of it, either what you hoped to accomplish, hoped to achieve, hoped to feel about what you achieved just ended up kind of empty, just didn't end up the way you thought it would? Anybody ever have that happen before? I think sometimes, you know, we work, we can either fail or what we thought the benefit would be just didn't happen. Wasn't as meaningful as we thought the results would be. I know we all are probably familiar with inventor Thomas Edison, the guy that invented the light bulb. I think he understands that kind of frustration. With all of his attempts to invent the light bulb, Edison spent more than $100,000 to obtain 6,000 different fiber specimens, and only 3 out of the 6,000 proved to be satisfactory. How many would think you'd be frustrated by that, right? I'd be frustrated by that. Each failure, he said, brought him much closer to the solution to his problem. He always had a pretty good outlook. However, on December of 1914, Edison lost everything in a manufacturing facility that he had when it caught fire in Orange, New Jersey, West Orange, New Jersey. It was heavily damaged by fire, and the next day, Edison came in to see that almost $1 million worth of equipment and a record of much of his work had been destroyed in the fire. All of his hopes and dreams as he walked through those charred embers. He was 67 years old at the time, but this is what he said. He said, "There is value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Now we can start anew." Now we can start anew. We're in a series we're calling Fresh Start. We're looking at different people in the Bible that had gone through certain situations and they needed a fresh start in their life. And so today we're going to look at a man whose life was filled with striving, with grasping, with deceiving, and even some wrestling. Yet his efforts resulted in failure, frustration, and fear. But God had other plans. How many of you say, thank God for God moments? But God had other plans. This man received a fresh start, and he was able to embrace a future that God had planned and desired for his life. One that I think was inside of him. But all of his attempts to try to get that on his own proved to be fruitless in his life. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Jacob. Some of you already know that. Look at you. You read ahead in the notes. You can find the sermon notes, by the way, on the Church Center app as well. If you go to the More tab, there's sermon notes, and you can follow along with us on there as well. We're talking about Jacob. So we're going to be in the book of Genesis today. So if you have a copy of God's Word, you can open it up and follow along with us. We're going to be in the book of Genesis. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 25, and then we're going to skip through different periods of Jacob's life. But let me give you a little bit of a backstory of Jacob. He was the son of a man by the name of Isaac and the grandson of a man by the name of Abraham. And his story begins before he was even born. His mother's name was Rebekah, and when she was pregnant, before she was pregnant, she had a difficult time being able to conceive. And then once she had conceived, the pregnancy was not easy. And at that time, there were no ultrasounds. There was not kind of doctors to give you pictures to know what was going on. And so what did she do? She prayed. She decided to pray. In Genesis chapter 25, beginning in verse 22, this is what happened. The two children struggled with each other in her womb. So she went to ask the Lord about it. How many of you know when you don't know what's going on? How many know it's good to ask the Lord about it? Come on, it's good to ask the Lord about it. She went and asked the Lord about it. Why is this happening to me? Maybe you've asked that same question. You've had some struggle going on. Why is this happening to me? And the Lord told her, the sons in your womb will become two nations. From the very beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and your older son will serve the younger. So God tells her, you have twins. There are two, not just one, when you had difficulty conceiving, but now there are two, and there is a struggle going on even while they're in the womb, because there are two nations and there is a struggle that is going on, and the older will serve the younger. She had this promise from God. When the day of the birth of her children came, Genesis 25, 25 and 26 says, the first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair like a fur coat. So they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. Heel grabber. Heel grabber. He was grasping his brother's heel at birth, and it literally was illustrating a struggle that would take place between the two throughout their years of growing up, and a struggle that would take place within Jacob's own life throughout the rest of his life. Jacob was always grasping at something. As he grew, it didn't get any better. Jacob is described as being quiet and a tent dweller, while he was not very adventurous. His brother Esau was a skilled hunter, and he was also his father's favorite. Have you ever grown up, maybe some of you have grown up in a house where your parents had favorites? They always, you know, somebody was always the one that was the favored one, and someone else might have been the black sheep. Well, Dad favored Esau. Esau was a man's man. He came out hairy. Come on, I mean, you just gotta know, right? I mean, he came out full of hair. Some of us don't have as much on top anymore. He was a hairy man, but he was also a skilled hunter. He was adventurous. He was outgoing. He was a man's man, while Jacob, being the younger brother, was quiet and a tent dweller and just kind of hung around more at the home. He became his mother's favorite, maybe because of the promise, maybe because she saw him striving, but his father not recognizing who he was or valuing who he was. Well, the scriptures really don't say, but what we do know is that there was something inside of Jacob that was always desiring something. Something. He was not satisfied with where he was. He was desiring and wanting something. Maybe it was being maybe it was just being the younger brother. Maybe he found he never measured up to his older brother. There was just something inside of him that he struggled with, some kind of significance. I think that's a problem in our world today. I think there are many people that struggle with an area of feeling significant, feeling like they matter, feeling like they measure up. And although he was quiet, though, he was also deceptive and observant. Once his brother came in hungry, he had an unsuccessful time of hunting. He came in very hungry, and Jacob said, "This is my opportunity." He had some stew that was made up, and it smelled delicious, and "Oh, I'm so hungry. Will you give me any of that?" And he said, "I'll give it to you if you sell me your birthright." He was quiet, but he was also observant, looking for an opportunity. What was so significant about the birthright? Well, the firstborn received a double inheritance and also became the head of the family when the father had passed away. Receiving a double inheritance of all that the family had owned, but also being the head of the family, and even the one who was the spiritual leader of the family. And Esau, his brother, had sold that away out of a moment of hunger for a bowl of stew. And Jacob was opportunistic. And then later on, when his father Isaac kind of had he felt like maybe my days are ending. I'm gonna give a blessing over my sons. And so he wanted to bless his firstborn son, Esau, his favorite. And he said to him, "Go out and hunt and prepare a meal for me, for I don't know where my life is gonna be, and I want to bless you." Well, his wife had overheard that, and she grabbed her son Jacob and said, "Listen, Your father's getting ready to issue the blessing. Here's what I want you to do. Go to the flocks. You're a shepherd. I want you to go and bring it. We're going to prepare a meal for your father. He said, wait a minute. What if my father touches me? I'm not hairy like my brother. Like, this could be really bad for me. And the mother said, listen, we're going to take the animal skins and we're going to take care of it. And we'll get you to smell like your brother. We'll put his clothes on you and your father's blind and we'll figure it out. What if he finds out? Don't worry. His mother said, I'll take care of it. And two of them began to trick and connive their way into their father Jacob, issuing the blessing over, or their father Isaac, issuing the blessing over Jacob rather than Esau. The family covenant that originally come from Abraham passed to Isaac, and now Jacob, all of his striving, all of his thing, what would it result for him? Genesis chapter 27, we flip a couple of chapters ahead, we get to verse 36, and it cost him all of that striving and deceiving, all of that cost him something. For his brother Esau exclaimed this, no wonder his name is Jacob, for now he has cheated me twice. First he took my rights as the firstborn, and now he has stolen my blessing. Esau is angry at Jacob. His father is disappointed. How could I be tricked like this? How could you allow this to happen? Esau is angry. He felt cheated. His father felt deceived. And Esau planned on killing Jacob once his father had died. And so Rebekah says, listen, we can't let this happen. Here's what I need you to do. I have my family. Well, I want you to go to my family and stay with my brother Laban. Go stay with my family. And while you are there, you'll find a wife. And then when things have calmed down here, then you can come back home. Think about it for a moment, though. Jacob was quiet. Jacob was the one around the tents. He was the one around. He was the homebody. He was not adventurous at all. And yet he needed to leave his home and travel back to where her brother and family were. These were the days of no cell phones. For those of you who have children now, there was no Life 360 to know where your kids are. And some of you say, what is Life 360? Ask a younger parent, particularly one who just has kids starting out to drive. It's really important. I'm telling you, there was no social media. There were no emails. They may never see Jacob again. Jacob may never see them again. All of the striving and ceasing, he's got the birthright. He got the blessing, right? Everything he wanted, he got. And yet here he is. His brother wants to kill him. His father's disappointed in him. The land that had been promised to his grandfather and his father that would be his, he has to leave. And he's leaving home. This guy who always stayed around home has to leave home. And he's leaving home with nothing. Broken relationships and a tarnished reputation. Think about that for a moment. That's where Jacob ends up. But we flip to Genesis chapter 28, and when Jacob is at his lowest point, God appears, and this is one of four encounters that we're going to look at this morning. There are four encounters we're going to look at this morning in Jacob's life, four encounters where God showed up, and each one of these encounters launches Jacob into a new season of the fresh start that God desired to bring into his life. Encounter number one is about a fresh start when we fail. A fresh start when we fail. Let's look at Genesis 28, starting in verse 10. Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. Let me pause for a moment. Did you catch the timing of this? He left Beersheba. He travels toward where he's supposed to go in Haran, but it says this, at sundown he arrived. Sometimes when we fail, when we feel like all of our striving and effort, we thought it would produce different results, and we end up in a place where we feel empty, where we don't feel like we have anything left. It's like a sundown in our lives. Some of you might have experienced this, or maybe you're in a season of sundown in your life, a season when it just seems like nothing is going right. Everything you had hoped to achieve isn't there. You're not at the place you thought you would be, and you say, man, what's happening? And it's like the sun has just been setting on your life. Let me tell you something, you're in a good place if you're at a place of sundown. You're at a good place if you're at a place of sundown. Here was Jacob, nothing. He has nothing anymore. There is nothing anymore. He's just on a journey, and he goes at sundown. He goes to sleep, but at sundown, God shows up. At sundown, God shows up. At sundown, all of a sudden, God shows up. It was sundown for Jacob because he strived and grasped, trying to find meaning, trying to find significance, trying to find success, trying to find something that would bring happiness and joy and significance to his life. If I just had the birthright and I was the next one in line, I was grabbing for that, but I didn't make it out of the womb. But boy, I got it now. Uh-oh, that doesn't feel so good right now. If I could just have my father's blessing, if he would just bless me, everything would be okay. But the way in which I went about it, it don't feel so good no more. I don't know. Everything he spoke over me seems impossible right now. Seems impossible right now. All of the attempts led to a place of failure, sent away alone, without anything at sundown. But in that moment, he has an encounter with God. Look at verse 13. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth to heaven. And he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. And at the top of the stairway stood the Lord. And he said this, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you and I will protect you wherever you go. Come on, somebody. There's good things in here, right? One day, not now, one day, one day, I will bring you back to this land. I'll not leave you until I finish giving you everything I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. You see, in sundown moments, in moments when we fail, in moments when all of our striving and all of our attempts to grasp at something to find significance and a meaning, when all of that goes away and we find ourselves at sundown alone with our thoughts, alone just there, we don't perceive it, but I'm going to tell you something, God is closer than you think. God is closer than you think. That's at the moment where you are ready to be able to receive and hear from the Lord. It's in the sundown moments when God says nothing else. All of that striving, it didn't work out for you, and you're lost and you're alone and you're in that place. Don't give up and don't feel hopeless, because that is when God is near. Jacob said, the Lord is here, but I didn't perceive it. Some of you don't perceive it, but God is near you. Some of you don't perceive it, but God is closer than you think. Begin to say, God, God, are you near? God, I need you. Because there is nothing to encourage you more than his presence. There's the stairway, right? He's not a God off in the distance. He's not just a God that I heard about, the God that my grandfather said and he worshiped. The God my granddaddy said, my granddaddy Abraham said that God appeared to him and gave him promises. My daddy, I heard him tell the stories of when God had appeared to him and said, I take those promises I gave to your father and I give them to you. My mother told me about how I was in the womb, how God had some promises over my life. But now, in this moment, my darkest moment, now God has spoken to me. See, when you're in that place where all of your other attempts have gone down, It's okay to say, well, I know what happened to my grandfather used to serve the Lord, or my grandmother used to serve the Lord, or my mother did, or my father did. But you know what you need more than anything else? You need to hear from God for you. You need to hear from God for yourself. In those moments of sundown moments, that's when you need to get a hold of God. That's when you need to pray and say, God, open up my eyes that I might perceive your presence that is closer. I didn't perceive it, but God, you are near. In those sundown moments where it seems like everything has gone wrong and I'm empty and I'm alone, oh God, I need to know that your presence is near, and I need you to speak your promises over me again, afresh and anew. Fast forward a bit. Jacob has this. God says, I'm going to give it to you, but you're going to go away for a while, and then you're going to come back. How many of you know that fresh starts begin with this revelation of God's presence and his promises over our life, but we have to go through a season of growth. You have to go through a season of growth. And for a little while, Jacob's got to go away for a little bit. And so he travels on to Haran, and while he's there, he meets Uncle Laban and his family, and he falls in love. He falls in love. Laban has a daughter. Her name is Rachel. And Jacob takes one look, and he is smitten. Man, that girl's going to be my wife. She's going to be my wife. And so he has nothing. He goes to his uncle and says, listen, I want your daughter as my wife, but I got nothing to offer you. And they strike up a deal. If you work for me for 7 years, you can pay the bride price, and I'll give you Rachel. And scripture says that time period, there was like something out of a Hallmark movie, right? I mean, he says that although there were 7 years, it seemed like they were just a few days because of all the joy that we had. Come on, right? Oh, it was one of those moments. And so the time came, and it's dark, and there's no electricity, and there's veils and all of this stuff, and they get married, and he wakes up the next morning, and the light is on, the sunlight is on, and he peels back the veil, and oh, that's not Rachel. Those of you who don't know the story, you're like, what happened? Uncle Laban was a bit of a deceiver himself. Some of those character qualities get passed down through family generations. And Jacob was a deceiver. Uncle Laban was also a deceiver. He says, listen, in these parts, we don't give the younger sister before the older, so you got to marry Leah. Well, wait a minute, what about Rachel? Well, you work for me another 7 years, and at the end of this week, when you finish with Leah, then you can have Rachel too. Those next 7 years were not quite as joyous as the first seven. As you can imagine, sister wives, there was a lot of conflict. Right? There was some conflict going on between the sister wives. There were struggles with pregnancy and all of these kinds of things. And then with that, Laban sees God's hand and favor on Jacob. And he knows that his family business, as a result of God's blessing on Jacob, is also being blessed. Let me tell you something. If you're a follower of Jesus and God's hand is on you, those you work for ought to be blessed. Those you work for ought to be blessed. We see it over and over. It happened with Joseph in the Old Testament too. God's hand was on him, and Potiphar's house was blessed because of God's hand. The jail was blessed because of God's hand. Egypt, a foreign nation, was blessed because of God's hand. Let me tell you something. When God's hand's on you, there's a blessing on you. But Laban says, I'm going to take advantage of this. And so he begins to change Jacob's wages 10 times. And although God is faithful to Jacob, the favor is not welcomed by everyone. And pretty soon there's family drama that's happening in the family, and he notices that something has happened. Laban, his uncle, treats him a little bit differently now. And Laban's other sons are like, there's something going on with this guy. And there's this buildup, and that leads to a second encounter that Jacob has with God. And it comes, this second fresh start comes in a moment of frustration. Fresh start when we experience frustration. Jacob wasn't in a good place. God had been with him, but again, there had been all of this conflict, and Laban hadn't been real fair in his dealings with him. And it says this in Genesis 31:1-2. So we're going to flip a couple more chapters. And it says, but Jacob soon learned that Laban's sons were grumbling about him. But Jacob has robbed our father of everything, they said. He's gained all his wealth at our father's expense. And Jacob began to notice a change in Laban's attitude towards him. Something had changed. What used to be a time there where God's hand was on him is resulting in frustration, conflict in relationships. He endured the white swap trickery. He worked another 7 years, and after 14 years in Genesis 30, he wanted to leave and go back home. But Laban had noticed that God's hand was on Jacob and he was prospering, so he offered him a business deal. Let's go into business together. Let's go into business together. But in the midst of it, more family conflict. Jacob describes the problem in Genesis 31, 6 and 7. You know how hard I have worked for your father, but he has cheated me, changing my wages 10 times, but God has not allowed him to do me any harm. God has protected me. Laban's tried to cheat me, but God has protected me. But there is a season here, a frustration that is going on inside of Jacob, and he knows that being in Laban's house was for a season, but it was not to be forever. For God had made a promise to him that he was going to give him the land of his father. When is the right timing, Lord, for you to release your promise to me? During that time frame, God had been working in Jacob's heart, and the Lord appears to him now, and he has a second encounter in this moment of frustration. In Genesis 31, 13, God says this, I am the God who appeared to you at Bethel. There it was, at that place, when he had left, when he was gone, when he had nothing, the God who appeared to him there appears to him a second time. The place where you anointed the pillar of stone and made your vow to me. Now get ready and leave this country and return to the land of your birth. God gave direction to Jacob in a moment of frustration. A fresh start for Jacob began out of a moment of frustration when God reminded him of his promise and reminded Jacob of the commitment that he had made and said, now is the time for you to leave. And that encounter led Jacob to a fresh start. Here's what I want you to know. God will use unpleasant circumstances or allow our environment to change so that we will seek his will and guidance. So we'll seek his will and guidance. Sometimes we get comfortable. We're not in the place where God wants us, and we wonder why the circumstances are getting a little bit uncomfortable. Sometimes we got to press through the uncomfortable, but there are other times where the uncomfortable leads us to say, God, is this a moment where you're wanting to do something new in my life? Is this a moment where you're wanting to give me a fresh start? Is this a moment that I'm to press through? Or is this a moment where you're redirecting my life? Jacob was not meant to stay with Uncle Laban. But during that time with Uncle Laban, Jacob had learned how to have confidence in the Lord. He had learned that he could take care of his family, that God was with him and God could prosper him and God could protect him and he could trust the Lord. Even though Laban tried to change his wages, he said, but God, my God, has protected me. My God has provided for me. My God was there. There were lessons that Jacob had learned while he was with Uncle Laban, but now he was a time for him to leave that behind and head back towards what God had promised him. For some of you, this is a time of frustration, and that time of frustration is for you to seek the Lord and discern his will. What is God's desire for you? Because God may want to move you into a fresh start so that you can take hold of the promises he has for your life. You can take hold of the promises he has for your life. Some of you are frustrated. You don't know what God wants for you. You just keep trying to make it work. Maybe you need to listen to the voice of God and say, God, are you directing me? Are you directing me to take some steps of faith that are going to lead to embracing the promises that you have for my life? You see, for Jacob to receive the fresh start, it required leaving Laban, making the journey home. knowing, or not knowing, excuse me, not knowing how he would be received. And that leads me, that leads us to the third encounter that Jacob had with God, but it came in a moment of fear. So God met him in a time of failure. God met him in a time of frustration. But now he was going to need to meet with God in a time of fear. Why? Because going back meant facing his past. It meant facing the people that he had hurt. It meant facing his brother who he had deceived. It meant facing his father whom he had deceived. And I don't know about you, but that brings about quite a bit of fear, doesn't it? There was a mess in his past. He had gone away, but now he had to come back and face the mess. He had to come back and face the people that he had hurt, right? Genesis 31:3, God spoke to Jacob. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your father and grandfather, to your relatives there, and I will be with you." Notice he had to face his fear, but God made a promise to him. Listen, as you head back and as you have to face your biggest fear, he wants you to know something. I am with you. I am with you. Your relatives, right? Father, your father is older. He didn't die. He's still alive. Esau is there. Jacob had to face Esau. He had that on his mind, in fact. And we know that because as he's heading back, he sends messengers on ahead to prepare the way for them to come back. Genesis 32:4-5. He told them, "Give this message to my master Esau. Humble greetings from your servant Jacob. Until now I've been living with Uncle Laban, and now I own cattle and donkeys and flocks and sheep and goats and many servants, both men and women. I've sent these messengers to inform you, my Lord, of my coming, hoping that you will be friendly to me." Say, Pastor, how do you know that Jacob had a little bit of fear going back home? Because he sends these messengers to Esau and he says, "I hope you'll be friendly to me. This is where I've been. I want to let you know ahead of time, I'm coming home. I certainly hope you'll be friendly to me. Because the last time I was with you, you wanted to kill me. The last time I was with you, you wanted me dead. I certainly hope some things have changed." He's got to face his fear. He's got to face his fear. The messengers come back. He's like, "What did he say?" "He really didn't say much except he's coming to meet you." Oh, and he's got 400 people with him. That's like an army. "I don't think he's going to be friendly to me. I got to figure some things out. Here's what I'm going to do. I got some surrogate wives and their children. I'm going to put them on up ahead. And then I'm going to put Leah with her children up on ahead. And then my favorite, Rachel, I'm going to keep her back and have her at the end. And I'll follow everything up. And I'm going to have these sheep. And I'm going to give them these gifts along the way." There was something in his mind. He knew there was some fear in his mind. What is going to happen? He's frightened. See, all too often we avoid the fresh start that God wants to give us because we're afraid of facing our past mistakes. There are some of us that don't embrace the fresh start because we don't want to confront the mistakes we've made in the past. It's easier to avoid it. But let me tell you something. The fresh start that God wants to give you isn't going to happen until you confront your past. Until you confront your past. There are people you need to forgive. And there are people you need to ask their forgiveness. There are people you've hurt. There are things that you've done. And you've got to trust that God wants to help you. God wants to help you face those things. He wants to help you face those fears. While Jacob was waiting to see Esau, this is where he had that third encounter. This is where he had the third encounter with God. When he's in this moment of greatest fear, he sent everybody on up ahead and he's down there alone. And Genesis 32:24-30 says this, Then this left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. We had sundown. Look at that. Now the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What's your name?" the man asked. And he replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man said. "From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with man and have won." "Please tell me your name," Jacob said. "Why? Why do you want to know my name?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there, and Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. And he said, I've seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared. Now look at this last. The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Jacob was heading back, had to face his greatest fears, had to face all of the mistakes of the past, all of the striving, all of the things that he was grasping at. "I want the birthright. I want my father's blessing. I'll do anything I can." But in this moment, he had an encounter with God where he began to wrestle with God. And when he wrestled with God, and he hung on and said, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." It was no longer being blessed by his father that mattered anymore. It was no longer being blessed by his brother or being approved by his brother that mattered anymore. He had to wrestle with God and receive the blessing of God, because that was what was going to bring about the peace of God and the change in his life. And the only way you can face the fear of your past, face the mistakes of your past, is when you start to get a hold of God and you say, "I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. I'm not going to let you go unless you change me. I can't continue to go the way I was. I did those things and they caused me a lot of pain. But as I'm going back, I can't do things the same way I used to do them. I've got to take some time and wrestle with you until I get up walking differently than when I walked in." When Jacob left, it was a sundown moment. Here, he wrestles with God until he comes out in a sunup moment. And in that, he's got a new confidence, and he's got a new identity, and he's got a blessing upon his life that nobody can take away. Isaac might not want to remember it or recognize it, but that's okay, because I heard from God. My brother Esau might not recognize my place in the family or God's hand on me, but that no longer matters to me anymore. Because I wrestled and I heard from God and I got his blessing on my life. And that means more than anybody else's approval on my life. Some of you don't have a fresh start because you're not looking for the approval of God. You're still seeking the approval of man. How many likes do I get on social media? Who likes my TikTok dance video? Do they like my outfit? Am I approved by you? Man, there are so many things we seek to fill an approval void in our lives. To prove a void in our lives that we have that says, am I good enough? Do I matter enough? Am I successful enough? Am I significant enough? By everybody else's standards, do they look and say, Oh, yeah, I live by that. Until they don't. Until they like somebody else better. Until your boss no longer thinks you're good enough because this young sales buck comes up and he's outselling you. And now all of a sudden what I put my hope in no longer matters. You got to get a hold of God. You got to get a hold of God. You gotta say, God, I'm wrestling with you until I know that I'm approved by you, until I know that I am yours, until I know that you have changed me. Some of you are wrestling with some things in your life. You've been grasping and hanging on to things, and God says, let go of those things and hang on to me. You need peace in your life. You don't need that substance in your life anymore to make you feel good. You need me. There are some things some of you got to let go of. Because you can't embrace the fresh start God wants to give you until you start letting go of those things and start grabbing a hold of God. Ooh. What happened to old Esau? He was coming with 400 men. Right? After wrestling with God, guess who shows up? Genesis 33, Esau shows up. Jacob went on ahead. He approached his brother, bowed to the ground 7 times before him. He was humble. Then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. And they both wept. I thought my brother would harbor bitterness against me. I thought my brother would not forgive me. I thought my brother wouldn't welcome me. You know, sometimes the greatest fears that we have are not even true. They're not really reality. We do more wrestling in our mind and arguing with our mind about the things that we're supposed to face, and that's not even really the reality. See, God said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And when Jacob met Esau, instead of retribution, he received reconciliation. And that was a part of his fresh start. That was a part of the healing work. Some of you need God to do a healing work in your life, but that healing work isn't going to happen until you face your past. Until you face your fears. And you let God do the work. You trust God will be with you. He will do the He is with you. God's not finished yet. Last encounter. One more encounter. I promise this one's short. One more encounter. Which seals this fresh start. We ought to be used to fresh starts if you're a Browns fan, by the way. Every season for us is a fresh start, right? Man, we got the number 2 pick in the draft. There's always next year. Hallelujah. That is our t-shirt right there. Right? Come on. There's always next year, Cleveland. Come on. Come on. Come on. I just had to get that in. I had that earlier in my notes and skipped over it. And I said, no. We got to get that in. Right? And we got to face our past. Pretty big mistakes. Oh, Lord, help us. At least we have the Buckeyes. OH. Come on, come on. Right on cue. Yeah, all right. See that? I'm getting that in there. All right, get on. Get on with it, Pastor. We're almost out of time. Get on with it. All right. Yeah, he has that encounter with God. He faces Esau. But God's not finished yet. There's one more encounter that he has with the Lord. He makes his way all the way back to Bethel, the place where the journey all began, the place when in the sundown moment it happened. And he gets back to Bethel, and it's here that God gives him a fresh start to embrace his God-given future. His God-given future. Take a look, Genesis 35, starting in verse 9. Now that Jacob had returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again at Bethel. Appeared to him again, I love that. Let me tell you something, you had an encounter with God, but it's been a while. God wants to appear to you again. It might be a while. When's the last time? When was the last time you had an encounter with God? When was the last time you met with God? Listen, this journey, it's not a one time I had an encounter with God. Now I go on and live my life. Listen, it is moment after moment where we turn and we say, God, I need another encounter again. God, I need another encounter again. Ooh, now Jacob had returned. God appeared to him again at Bethel. God blessed him, saying, your name is Jacob, but you'll no longer be called Jacob. And you'll not be called Jacob any longer. From now on, your name will be Israel. Come on, he renewed it. Sometimes we need that reassurance, right? God speaks to us, but we need that reinsurance. That's what encountering God again, it's for God to continue to speak over us his new name, what he has called us, what he calls us. No longer from our past. I came back. I'm there. Everybody's calling me Jacob. God calls me something different. Everybody's calling. They're saying, you're the deceiver. You're the deceiver. No. You're not the deceiver anymore. You're the one who struggles with God. You came on top. You struggled with God and you came. That's who you are. That's who you were, but this is who you are. I'm renewing that. That's who you were. This is who you are. Some of you who are followers of Jesus, listen to me. You are not your past. You are who God says you are. You are not your mistakes and your failures. You're who God says you are. You're not your character before Christ. You are your character after Christ has transformed your life. You wrestle with God. He changes you. And he says, listen, no longer are you that. You are this. So he renamed him Israel. Then God said, I'm El Shaddai, God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. Come on, this is your future. Be fruitful and multiply. You'll become a great nation. Even many nations and kings will be among your descendants. Oh, and I will give you the land I once gave to Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants after you. Listen, Jacob, now is the time. Now is the time to embrace your future. Now is the time to embrace the future that I have for you. You came out, you strove, you tried to grasp everything you could, and you ended up with nothing and a failure. But I met you along the way, and I gave you this promise then. I told you I would protect you. I said you'd go away for a while, but I would protect you. You went under Laban, you were frustrated, but I protected you. I told you to come back here, and you obeyed me. And when you came back here, I met you again, and we wrestled together, and you are no longer the same as you were before. Now it's time to step into the future that I have planned for you. Now's the time to walk in that future. Now's the time to walk in that way. Be fruitful and multiply. This is the revelation that God has given him. This is what he is to walk into. And friends, worship team, will you come? Friends, if you are in a season of a sundown, God wants to meet with you. God wants to give you a fresh start. If you're in a place where you have failed, God wants to give you a fresh start again. If you're in a place where you say, man, I'm just frustrated, it's time to seek the Lord and say, God, what do you want to do? Maybe you're moving me in a new direction. For some of you, you got to face your fears. You got to face your fear. You got to face your past. You got to wrestle with God. You got to let God do the change in you. You got to let God do the change in you so that you can walk in the preferred future that he has for your life. So do you need a fresh start? Do you need a fresh start? Some of you have been struggling with failure. It's time. It's time to turn it over to the Lord. Some of you in a sundown moment, it's time to meet with God. Some of you are battling frustration. It's time to hear from God and discern your next step. Some of you have fears that you need to face, issues that are deep in your heart that you've got to wrestle with God in prayer about so that you can come out healed and changed. Some of you, it's time to live out the God preferred future that he has for you, to embrace it and to walk in it by faith. And if that's you, in a few moments, I'm going to invite you to get up out of your seat and to make an altar and to find a place to pray. I'm going to invite you to come and meet with God at these altars. Everywhere Jacob went, when he met with God, he built an altar. When he encountered God, he built an altar. There's something powerful when we come and build an altar from the Lord, with the Lord. There's something that happens when we come and we build an altar with the Lord. I want to invite you today, if you're in a place of a sundown moment and you say, I'm at the end and I'm empty and I need God to do a new thing in my life. I need God to give me some kind of hope. Then I want you to come and build an altar to the Lord. If you're in a place of frustration and you say, I just don't understand, I just don't know what's happening, it's time to get to build an altar with the Lord and discern what he's telling you to do. If you're in a place where you say, I've got these fears and I need God to change me, I can't be the same anymore, you got to come and build an altar to the Lord. If you say, God, what is your future? I want to walk in your future. It's time to come and build an altar to the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, stand in this place. Jesus, we invite you, Holy Spirit, come. We invite you, Holy Spirit, come. We invite you, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord, you know those that are wrestling. You know those, God, that are in a place where it's a sundown place. It's a time, God, where they are at the end and they need you to do a new thing in their life. They need an encounter with you. Some are wrestling with fear. Some are wrestling with frustration. Some just need to walk in the future you've given them, and they need the confidence to be able to do it. They need the encounter with you, that you'll remind them of who they are. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? If you need to, I want you to come. Come and build an altar to the Lord. Come and build an altar to the Lord. Come and build an altar to the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Meet us right here. Meet us right here. Meet us right here. Meet us right here. Right here. We're going to spend some time in worship and prayer right here.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit PainesvilleAG.com.